Nisambula Vinaka, welcome to Dateline from RNZ Pacific. I'm Koroi Hawkins. Coming up, Vanuatu's political leaders expect another fragmented parliament to emerge after next month's election. Radio Tonga Aotearoa remembers Reverend Dr. Ilomaisini Lea. Solomon Islands' outgoing High Commissioner to New Zealand says the opportunity is ripe for more bilateral trade. South Auckland celebrates diversity, and a Pacific author wins Auckland University's Young Alumna of 2020 award. Vanuatu's political leaders expect another fragmented parliament to emerge after the upcoming general election. Following the conclusion of its four-year parliamentary term, the country is preparing to go to the polls on 19th of March. None of the major political parties are standing candidates in more than half of the 52 electorates. Johnny Blades has more.
The caretaker Prime Minister Shalo Salwai says he expects it will be another coalition government that emerges from the election. Mr. Salwai is one of the few Vanuatu Prime Ministers to have lasted a full term in power. He says MPs' ability to work together is the key to a functional coalition.
Each one of us come from a custom and cultural value, and I believe we have only one goal. One goal is to serve this country as much as we can. Nobody is perfect. That's why I can only say that I believe very strongly in the value of our human relationship.
In the last 4 years, Mr. Salwai defeated various motions of no confidence while reshuffling cabinet and reconfiguring his coalition. However, the stability forged by government came at the expense of political reforms the coalition promised but couldn't yet deliver. The MP Johnny Kornapo is a member of the Vanuaku Party, which was reshuffled out of cabinet last year.
If you look at the political situation in Vanuatu, it's highly fragmented. There's a lot of many new political parties rising and coming into the scene and rising and falling again and again. It's not really good for politics in Vanuatu and subsequently the development.
With the election fast approaching, Shalo Salwai has the unwelcome distraction of a charge of perjury hanging over his head. He is due for a court appearance next week. And if the charge isn't cleared, it could prevent him contesting the election. The charge follows a complaint by opposition leader Ismail Kausiko into the government's introduction of parliamentary secretaries, paid government positions that the Supreme Court last year ruled void and of no effect.
The Prime Minister had made a statement to the effect that all Council of Ministers since 2013 had endorsed the appointments of parliamentary secretaries, and there is no Council of Ministers decision at all that actually created or gave effect to the appointments that the Prime Minister had made.
But Mr. Salwai says the Council of Ministers made a resolution over the positions in 2013 under the former Prime Minister, Sato Kilman.
Because we have all the orders that have been prepared by the state law, that in 2013, and if we have orders, I believe that there should be a Council of Ministers' decision to create a position.
Mr. Kausiko says whatever the outcome of the court case, newly elected MPs should have a better awareness that public money is to be used for service delivery to Vanuatu's people rather than for lining politicians' pockets.
I believe in Vanuatu we've been able to cope with the fragmentation. It's just a question of corruption that we need to address quite seriously.
He says he believes the public is, these days, more aware of what goes on in the legislature and that voters' frustrations at how the Salwai government conducted itself will result in change after the polls. This is Johnny Blades.
Organisers of a festival celebrating the diversity of South Auckland want to prove it's different from other cultural events in the city. Diversity Festival is returning for its third year, celebrating the city's cultures through music, food and dance. The event includes ethnic groups from across Asia as well as Wallis and Futuna, Solomon Islands and Hawaii. Sarah Jane Hopgood has more.
The Diversity Festival aims to build a greater cultural awareness within South Auckland. For Steve Lau Filitonga Maka from Wallis and Futuna, it will be his first time participating in the festival and showcasing his culture through dance.
We're going to sing and dance. The Soamako Vave is about the illustration of warrior going to war and coming back to their family to win or lost. You come back to your family and enjoy that moment.
Mr. Maka has lived in New Zealand for 2 years with his wife and son. He says he is excited to share his culture with the wider community.
Really happy to participate. Uwea Futuna is not known in New Zealand. We are maybe 20 to 30 people around New Zealand. So we would like to come together and showcase.
Natasha Elikana from Embrace Pacific Dance Group says they plan to do a variety of traditional Pacific dances representing Samoa, Tahiti, Tonga, the Cook Islands and Hawaii. Ms. Elikana says they will be given a 15 to 20 minute slot and they will do costume changes between sets in order to capture all the cultures. She says she's enthusiastic about being part of the Diversity Festival because of its uniqueness.
It means a lot. I think learning and just getting to watch other cultures that we don't usually see at Polyfest or at Pacifica, because we're only at one stage. We're here, it's the one stage that shows off all the cultures, so I think it's a great experience.
Also making an appearance is 16-year-old aspiring hip-hop rapper Donal Faoma. It's not his first time performing for the Diversity Festival, which he says has helped him build his confidence while starting his career.
I actually performed last year, performed one song. That was my first solo performance as well. I'm doing the same thing this year, but like three more songs than last year. I've already started my music career, I'm already performing on stages, and hopefully I can go further with this career.
Mr. Faoma is a Samoan Solomon Islander and says he wants to showcase more of his Solomon side for one reason.
I just want to expose more of my culture, especially Solomon Islands, because not many people know about that culture.
The event is funded by the Ōtara Papatoetoe Local Board in South Auckland and organised by the World Council of Sikh Affairs. Diversity Festival will be held on the 22nd of February. This is Sarah Jane Hopgood.
Solomon Islands' outgoing High Commissioner to New Zealand says the country is ripe with opportunity for trade with the Solomons. In 2014, Joy Kere, who is also Solomon Islands' first woman High Commissioner, was tasked with establishing her country's first permanent diplomatic mission in Wellington. Mrs. Kere, who finishes her term this week, says over the past 6 years she has had the privilege of travelling the length and breadth of Aotearoa and meeting and working with people from all walks of life. She told me New Zealand's demographic and long history of trade with other Pacific countries make it the ideal candidate for increased trade with Solomon Islands.
I think first, New Zealand has a lot of experience in dealing with other Pacific Island countries, economies. For example, Samoa and Tonga, you know, they export, and even Fiji, export a lot of agriculture products with the taro, cassava and fish. And I think looking at New Zealand's market in terms of the population that would buy our agriculture products, if you look at the population of New Zealand, the demography, there's a huge Pacifica population that are already here, so in terms of market. But I would, I think it's something that Solomon Islands can explore is to export more of our agriculture products here. New Zealand itself is also a very agriculture-based economy, high-tech. So we have a lot to learn from New Zealand as well. And besides that, and SMEs, small, medium-term enterprises, this is one area Solomon Islands could learn from. So far, in terms of the work of the High Commission, we have collaborated very well with the Pacific Cooperation Foundation. We've established close contacts with the Pacific Trade and Invest offices in Auckland, and they have programs such as the Pacific Paths to Market, workshops that they run across the Pacific and in Solomon Islands as well, where our small indigenous businesses, SMEs, also attend workshops and where they travel to Auckland as well and here on trade missions to meet with the potential buyers or potential markets here where Solomon Islanders can also export some of our products. These are areas that perhaps through this Pacific Trade Invest programs, establishing links to New Zealand, something that perhaps we should promote and continue to work on that. And there is support in that area, which I think Solomon Islands has a lot to gain and benefit from going forward.
As Solomon Islands' first woman High Commissioner and
the establishing too, the first High Commission here in New Zealand. How was that experience for you?
I think it was a very exciting experience of being a first woman High Commission from the Solomon Islands, coming to New Zealand to not only to establish but to actually start the work of the government's office here in New Zealand.
In terms of the mission's work here in New Zealand, what are some of the main areas of focus for the mission in your day-to-day work?
Yeah, I must say that over the last 6 years that I've been here, I'm quite proud of the relationship that we've established and the contacts that we've made with very important ministries or the government of New Zealand for contact points, like the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Ministry of Pacific Peoples for Pacific Peoples as well. I think building on those relationship and with the New Zealand government in that regard, New Zealand's development assistance underpins a chunk of the work that we do here. The other important area as well is, of course, the RSE, the Recognized Seasonal Employer Scheme, that Solomon Islands has participated in for almost 15 years since the scheme was first established, and we continue to work in that. The other area, of course, that we try to promote is in the area of trade. A lot of the regional trade policies, trade agreements that are in place, the recent one being the PESA Plus, the Pacific Agreement on Cooperation, Economic Cooperation, of which Solomon Islands is a signatory of the PESA Plus. Those are areas that we look forward to in terms of building a capacity to trade. And, of course, the development assistance that will support both Australia and New Zealand will support Solomon Islands with, and also in the area of labour mobility.
On a personal note, your time in New Zealand, are you sad to be going? What will you remember most personally?
New Zealand is such a beautiful place. I've been here now for 6 years. It's a beautiful country, beautiful people, and I've enjoyed working here. I've made a lot of friends. I've visited widely around New Zealand, especially with the seasonal worker program. And I take with me a lot of fond memories about New Zealand as well and about the people and the culture. It has a beautiful demography here. There's a lot of Pacific people who are. It's a multicultural society. It's a very stable country. And, of course, the place of women in leadership in New Zealand, to have a prime minister who's a woman, the governor general and the chief justice. I suppose it's empowering to see that women in those highest leadership positions.
The Solomon Islands outgoing High Commissioner to New Zealand, Joy Kere. The vice chairman of Radio Tonga Aotearoa remembers his work colleague and friend, Reverend Dr. Ilomaisini Lea, as a humble and reliable man. Reverend Dr. Ilomaisini Lea recently died at Auckland Hospital due to declining health reasons, aged 64. Dr. Lea was a chairperson for Radio Tonga Aotearoa, as well as the president of the United Church of Tonga. Sailor Jane Hopgood spoke with the vice chairman of Radio Tonga Aotearoa, Gol San Manukia, who was saddened by the news of his work colleague's passing.
Very saddened about the news because, he's a very humble man, easygoing, and he also a chairperson for our radio ministry, which him and myself running the program plus our helpers, and it's a great loss to us, plus not only us, but for the Tongan community and their church as well.
What happened with Lea? Was it his health?
Yeah, I think there was something wrong with his heart, I guess.
Do you know how long he's been with the United Church of Tonga?
I think over 30 years, is from my understanding.
What work did he do for Tonga that will be well remembered?
He was one of the leaders that Tongan community here in New Zealand look up at. He also sometimes go back to Tonga with Dr. Manukai Kulamatangi to talk about the politics side of Tonga as well. And also he does the ministry on the radio, and he goes around to different events and be part of meetings and stuff like that. So he was a well-respected man within the Tongan community.
You said he was a humbled man. How will you remember his character?
For myself, very reliable man, and he had a great heart for God and also for the people as well. I think for him, he wants to bring out that light of God for everyone and direct them in the right path in life. I think he's an easygoing man. He can get along with anyone, you know, young to old people. And he was a well-respected man within the Tongan community as well, and was well-liked and, you know, very happy man, always smiling when you talk to him and always funny as well.
That was Girl San Manukia speaking to Sarah Jane Hopgood. A Pacific author and performer has been acknowledged by the University of Auckland for their creative achievements in New Zealand and abroad. Courtney Sina Meredith was named Young Alumna of the Year by her university. She says that the news came as a surprise and she was honoured and thrilled to be the recipient for 2020.
It was one of those like, oh wow, I'm getting an email from the Vice Chancellor's office. I had to look again and I thought, wow, what's this about? And then, yeah, I just kind of opened the email up and they had sent me a really lovely official letter. Yeah, I was really thrilled.
You must have been stoked by the news, but also being of Pacifica descent and to represent us at such a level.
Yeah, no, that really meant a lot to me. And I have those moments too where things like this happen. And the thing that gives me the most joy, you're right, is really being able to like share it with the family and having it as like, it's not my achievement, it's more like all the love and support and commitment of family supporting you and encouraging you and coming along to all of the various things that happen in your career. It's really more about honouring them for me.
What did you study at the University of Auckland?
Well, I started off actually at New Start. So that was my first kind of entryway into university, was the New Start program, which is really great if you're a young person and you're not quite sure what you actually really want to study. So it's a 10-week course and you just get a little bit of taste for university life and you do 10 different lectures across a range of subjects. So I sort of started out there and dipped my toe in trying lots of different papers out and realised just, yeah, I was really into politics. Obviously always loved English because I love writing and reading so much. But it also exposed me to some law theory and then I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll actually try and get into a conjoint. So in the very beginning of my university life, that's what I did. I had 3 years of a conjoint between law and arts. But eventually, as I got into that third year, I just knew I really wanted to commit to being in the arts and to becoming a writer and also being an arts manager. So I cross-credited all of my points over to my Bachelor of Arts and I just put 100% into that and made sure that it was my full passion and what I wanted to do with my life. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, you know, I'll be honest here, my mother did cry when I told my mum, I'm going to leave law school to become a writer and an artist. We did have a weekend where she was pretty sad about it, but I promised her I'm going to work really hard, and so she completely came on board.
Since then to now, what has been your biggest highlight as an author?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my biggest highlight as an author. Look, to be honest, I think, like, with my very first book, Brown Girls in Bright Red Lipstick, when I put that out, there were so many things that I wanted to say. I think your first book is really special as an author, but my favourite part of that book to this day is the very first page, the dedication, where I dedicated to Rita Sina Meredith, and that's my grandmother. And she passed when I was quite young. You know, she never got to travel. She never got to get old with all her grandkids running after her. It was really unfair that she got taken so young. And so for me, that's always been a really important part of the journey, is bringing her with me into all that I do.
Do you receive anything from this acknowledgement by the University of Auckland?
I didn't actually know, and I just thought, well, that's fine. I've always been mana over money. Yeah. I was never expecting anything additional, but I just got told recently, I think, that we received like a special sort of medallion. I think it's the one for the young alumna is slightly different. I think my one's bronze, and I think the other distinguished awardees, I think theirs is silver.
That was Courtney Sina-Meredith speaking there to Sarah Jane Hopgood. And that's Dateline from RNZ Pacific. Tofa.